Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of the exodus he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but coming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them, and they became frightened as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Sometimes at work I get myself into a predicament. See, I've been there for 33 years. And a lot of the young guys out there packing those 90 and 100 pound rolls are only 24 or 25 years old. So every now and then I pop off something about some music or some movie, and they stand there and look at me like, yeah, there I am showing my age again. So I'm going to take you on a journey here. Some of you may remember this and some of you may not. But back in the 70s, there was a movie series that was produced by Steven Spielberg. It was called the Encounter series. First encounter was, it's about UFOs, it's about UFO sightings, and the second encounter was evidence. And then there was this masterpiece. It was called The Close Encounters of a Third Kind, that there was contact. What does it mean to have an encounter? I think that's what our Gospels are about. What happens to people when they encounter God? Did you notice it's not Abraham, it's Abram. Abram was living with a clan. And this God reached out to him and called to him and called him forth. He said, "Bring your family and come." And that's what Abraham did. He took his family, he left his clan, and he followed this God. And this God was the first time he had spoke to someone since Noah. He spoke to Abram. Abram followed him. And that's what we hear. He was accredited, Abram's faith was accredited as a righteous act of righteousness. God made a covenant with Abraham. That's what the animal thing was, when he split the animals in two. That's how they made a contract then. They split the animals in two, and the two people making the contract would walk between the animals, and they were saying, "If I don't keep my part of the contract, may this happen to me." Because of Abraham's faith, God made a covenant to make him the father of a nation, father of the Israel people. Our second reading, Paul's facing an age-old problem. He's in Philippi. He's preaching to the Philippians. But the problem here is he's still encountering people who believe that to be Christians, you must first be Jews. And Paul's saying, no, it's not like that. He's saying, you're getting stuck on things that you shouldn't. That's what he's talking about. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. And they're caught up in earthly things. What he's saying is Jewish people, they're so caught up in eating only the right kind of food. And celebrating the fact that by their circumcision that they're Jewish. And that the law is what has to be followed. And he's saying, no. Those things can't save you by themselves. It's faith in Jesus Christ. He said, our citizenship is not here of this world. It's in heaven. And then we come to our gospel. A little background to our gospel. Jesus understands where he's going. He understands he's on a final journey toward Jerusalem. Pre of this gospel, before this gospel, a little earlier in the reading, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Of course, then he asked the next question, "But who do you say that I am?" So he knew his disciples knew that he was the Son of God, but he could tell they didn't understand because as he began to teach them what would happen in Jerusalem, that the Son of Man would be betrayed and handed over, they didn't handle that well. So now we arrive at our gospel. It says, some days later, he took Peter, James, and John and went up the mountain to pray. Now, we know and believe that Jesus is both fully human and both fully divine. And it was this moment that the divine, the glorious Jesus showed through. Now, it's interesting who appeared with him. Moses and Elijah. See, these men had had an encounter with God themselves. If you remember when Moses received was on the mountain and received the Ten Commandments and he comes down, his face was so radiant that the Israelites were afraid to look at him. He had to go into a tent. When Elijah, who was running from Queen Jezebel's army, was trying to catch him down and kill him, he ate of the bread and walked 40 days and 40 nights to the mountain of God and went up the mountain. It was there, in the quiet and tiniest whisper, that he hid his face and he went forward to the front of the cave to encounter God. Moses, when he died, was assumed into a cloud. Elijah was taken on a fiery chariot of steeds to the kingdom of heaven. So these men represented the law. Moses, the great lawgiver of the people, and Elijah, the great prophet. And they had come here with Jesus on this mountain to tell him what was to happen. Now, Jesus brought Peter, James, and John for a reason. I think that he wanted them to see his glorified self. What would happen to him after his resurrection and ascension into heaven, he would return to be in the glory of God. And I think he wanted to give them the courage and the strength to endure what they were about to see. Him being betrayed, him being shunned, him being crucified. So what does all this mean for us? My friends, we're called to be transfigured and transformed too. You see, like Paul told the Philippians, earthly things, go of those. You mean, earthly possessions are okay, but you have to remember, everything that we see and everything that we touch and everything that we hear is going to go away when we die. Those won't go with us. This time of Lent is a time where we can purify ourselves and get us ready to encounter our God. Because you see, one day we are going to encounter God. When we leave this world, we will see Jesus transfigured in his glorious body. What are the things that can help us? How do we encounter God here on earth? First, we come here because we hear God's word. And God becomes present to us in sacrament. But it's here too that in this Eucharistic elements, they too are transfigured. They are transformed into the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the one who made the covenant for the forgiveness of our sins. God has made a covenant with us. We can be forgiven. We can enter heaven. And in our Lenten observances, there are chances to purify and find new ways for God to be in our life. If you give up something and you miss it, then put Jesus in his place. And if you do something more, you're finding time for God in your life. God is finding ways to encounter you, to have an encounter with you, to draw you closer to him. You see, we're on a journey and we don't have to be on this journey alone. Jesus wants to be on this journey with us because, as I said earlier, we will see him one day. And when we see him, the witness of our lives will go with us. And what will the witness of our lives? How have we lived? What will that witness say as we stand before him as our just judge of the living and the dead? Friends, we have the church, we have the sacraments. It's in the sacraments ourselves that we encounter Christ. St. Augustine said that sacraments are a visible sign of an invisible God. God wants to have a close encounter with you. So he wants to draw you ever closer to himself. So as Paul says, that one day he may take our lowly bodies and make them like his glorified body. We will know the glory of everlasting life. Don't take my word for it. Remember the words of the gospel. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him.